Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're very near to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and we're going to hear about the person who followed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the worship of his deities at his house. This place is called Sveta Ganga. It's understood that this Sveta Ganga is none different than the river Ganga, and you'll hear some explanation why. But even before the pastime that I'm going to describe took place, this was known as Sveta Ganga. According to the Utkal Kanda portion of Skanda Purana, during Treta Yuga, the pastime that we heard from the Mahatmya Kanda of Lord Jagannath manifesting, that was during Satya Yuga. And then following, in the line of King Indradumna, was another king named King Shweta. We have at least one or maybe two or three Shwetas here. But a different Shweta than... same name. And he was a very great devotee of Lord Jagannath, a Vaishnav, and a very elevated devotee. And he wanted very much to please Lord Jagannath. That's what a devotee wants to do, is to please Krishna. And the worshipable deity for King Shweta was Lord Jagannath. And so he, under the guidance of qualified brahmanas, he studied very carefully that Mahatmya section of Skanda Purana, or the description of the forms of the Lord, the way that the Lord was to be worshipped as Lord Jagannath. And he made his very, very best effort to worship exactly according to the indications, for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath. He took it that from his devotion, Lord Jagannath awarded him with a vision. And the vision was that in the temple of Lord Jagannath there were many demigods who had come before Lord Jagannath, and they were making celestial offerings. So on one hand, he was very, very pleased to see that Jagannath was being worshipped so opulently, in a level of opulence that a worldly king just had no dream of how to offer to Lord Jagannath. But on the other hand, he felt very humbled that while I'm trying my very best to please Lord Jagannath, worshipping him, what's the use of my offerings? So he was feeling in conflicting emotions. You ever have that experience in Krishna consciousness? You're feeling very jubilant at the same time, in a humble way, very meek and insignificant. So as he was leaving the temple, he had a second vision. And the vision was the goddess of fortune herself, goddess Lakshmi, was taking all the items that he had prepared to offer to Lord Jagannath and was doing this regularly. And with her own hand, she was distributing to the pilgrims that were coming to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And she smiled very pleasingly at the king, indicating, "This is very nice, the service that you're doing." So King Shweta took it as encouragement from the personality of God that don't become discouraged. While your service in comparison to greater devotees than yourself may be very small, if your offering is made with love and devotion, Krishna is very pleased. So for the rest of his life in Treta Yuga, he dedicated himself exclusively. He's the king. We're just little people. He was a big person. And all of the resources that he had at his command, he used fully in the service of Lord Jagannath until his parting days. This Utkal Kanda section of the Skanda Purana describes that the Lord was so pleased with him that he awarded him this title, Shweta Madhava. And somewhere here, maybe up there, I don't know where, somewhere here there's a deity of the king along with a deity of Madhava where he was worshipped. So, thus the name Shweta Ganga. Shweta Ganga is known far more for a different reason than King Shweta. He's known that Shweta Ganga is known for a pastime that took place between the Lord's pure devotee named Ganga Mata Goswamini. And her history goes like this. She was born a princess named Sachi, and she was the daughter of a king of now somewhere on the border of Orissa and West Bengal. Then it was different, part of Utkal. Putia, king of Putia, was the king. And the king had no sons, just one daughter, Sachi. So the procedure, if there is no son, then the daughter, whoever she marries, would become the queen, and the man that she marries would become the king. And since there was no son, that the parents, the king and his queen, were very anxious to see that their daughter become properly married to a suitable boy who would then become the king. But Sachi described to her father and mother that I will marry no mortal person. Means I'll only marry Krishna. So that's a little challenging for parents if your daughter says they'll only marry Krishna. How do you take care of that situation? So they thought maybe she'll get over it, and she didn't get over it. She was, from her childhood, she showed the highest of interest in spiritual matters, including studies of the scripture, and had aspirations or characteristics of a person of high spiritual nature. And finally, they could understand that she meant it. She wouldn't marry unless she could be married to Krishna. So, after some time, the king and the queen departed this world, and Sachi became the queen without a king. And she ruled very effectively. She was a good queen. But her interest, her heart, was not in ruling the kingdom. So one day, on plea of taking pilgrimage, Sachi wanted to go to Jagannath Puri. Actually, it was her heart's desire that she could find a spiritual master. And when she came to Jagannath Puri, this was a few generations after Lord Chaitanya's presence. She came to Jagannath Puri, and at that time, just a short time had passed, although knowledge of Lord Chaitanya's presence was obvious because he resided here for 24 years of his life. So his presence was very much felt, but she kept hearing about the wonderful Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. So she left Puri to go to Vrindavan to find a spiritual master. When she got to Vrindavan at this time is developed. Then it was just after the time of the six Goswamis. It was not so developed. There were some temples, but very, 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 very simple and very austere. And she went there as a princess, or excuse me, as a queen, with her royal garments and her royal jewelry and her royal everything, royal attire, and began searching for a spiritual master. Of all the persons that she heard from, the person that inspired her the most was Haridas Pandit. A little bit of history. Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Ananta Acharya, who was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. So while we're here in Puri, we're going to visit Tota Gopinath Temple, the place where Gadadhar Pandit resided. So Gadadhar Pandit also had disciples under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one of those disciples, perhaps foremost of those disciples, was Ananta Acharya. Ananta Acharya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes in one of his commentaries of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Ananta Acharya was an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya and an eternal associate of Krishna. Ananta Acharya was one of the Ashtasakis of Krishna. Sudevi. Is Sudevi here? Sudevi Dasi, not Sudevi. So, he had many disciples. One of those disciples was Haridas. Haridas Pandit is described immediately in Chaitanya Charitamrita as the principal person who requested or even instructed Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Haridas Pandit is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami as the chief pujari of the Govindaji deity, and his character was impeccable. Specifically, what's described about him there is he was engaged always in glorifying the Vaishnavas, and his character was such that no one would even dare to come near him and speak something against any Vaishnav, because he just wouldn't hear it. He was loved and respected by everyone, and incredibly learned and spiritually elevated. His identity in Krishna Lila is Sri Rasa Manjari. Haridas Pandit. So Sachi became very inspired by Haridas Pandit. And she requested Haridas Pandit to accept her as a disciple. And immediately he replied, "This is not possible. You're a queen. And you want to make Vrindavan your residence and become my disciple, but your royal attire and your royal position, it won't work. I'm sorry, I can't accept you as a disciple." But she was, internally, she was taking it as a test. He wanted to examine her determination. And so, for 1 year, she took off her ornaments and her royal garb, took the single cloth of a mendicant, slept outdoors on the banks of the Ganga. It's described even then it was not safe, what to speak of today. But she was fearless because she felt protected by Krishna. And she performed Madhukari, queen. And each day, with her cloth extended, except whatever alms people would give her, she lived as a mendicant within Vrindavan. And 1 year later, she requested again, and Haridas Pandit agreed. He accepted her as a disciple. And her name became Sachi Devi. So Sachi Devi continued. It's not like, okay, now I have a vacation from being a mendicant. She continued and deepened every day, coming to hear Haridas Pandit speaking very deeply on the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and became, because of her spiritual inclination, she became very learned in the Bhagavatam as it was presented by Gadadhar Pandit to Ananta Acharya, to Haridas Pandit. After a couple of years of living in that way, he requested Sachi Devi to go live with another one of Haridas Pandit's disciples, a Mataji named Lakshmi. Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya was related, family-wise, related to Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi's mother's sister, so also of royal family. Lakshmi Priya was living at Radhakund, and she was chanting 3 lakhs of rounds a day, just like Haridas Thakur. 64 times 3 rounds a day, every day. And Sachi Devi and Lakshmi Priya hit it off right away. Their spiritual inclination was so super excellent. Those of you that have been to Radhakund, maybe you can recall, there's a place right on the by the side of Shyamakund, in between Shyamakund and Radhakund, is Gangamata Goswamini's ashram. This is where Sachi Devi stayed. She worshipped the deity of Mahaprabhu, and she continued to hear the spiritual discourses, and she then began also to speak under the order of Haridas Pandit the messages that she had heard. And after some years of living in that way, he then called her to Vrindavan and gave another assignment. The assignment that he gave her was that here in Jagannath Puri, the worship of the deities of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose home we're going to visit next, the deities are being neglected. And I want you to go there and take responsibility for worshipping the deities of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What does a disciple want other than an instruction from their spiritual master to fulfill? Each of the stages of instructions that had been given to her, she fulfilled expertly with full devotion. So now he was recognizing her qualification to take the same service, worshiping here in Puri. Now there was a little problem, because one of the deities, when we'll see when we go there, one of the deities was a Damodar Shila. And if you haven't noticed, there's a strong influence of Smarta Brahmanism here in Puri, which means that according to Smarta Brahman regulations, a woman is not to worship Shalagram Shila. But that was the instruction of her spiritual master. And so she carried out the instruction of her spiritual master. She came here to Puri and took up the worship. What did she have to offer? No wealth. Although she was a queen, she had no position as queen anymore. All she had was the devotion that she was carrying in her heart to fulfill the order of her spiritual master. And because there was no one to say no, she was given the service, worshipping the deities. That's the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And as she was doing previously at Radhakund, she continued, along with the worship of the deity, to give morning Srimad Bhagavatam discourse. And in course of time, because her brilliance as a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, having heard so nicely, her presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam was so fantastic that news spread fast. This wonderful orator of Srimad Bhagavatam, let's go. Even the king of Puri heard of her fame. So even the king came to hear her speak. So through passage of time, there's a festival that comes very soon. In the north of India, it's Makara Sankranti. Down here, it's given another name. What's it called? Pongal something? Pongal. It's Makara Sankranti. It's where the sun starts moving to the north. So on that very day, it's marked in our Vaishnav calendar, a festival that's held at the mouth of the Ganges, where the Ganges enters into the sea. And there's an island, and on that island they have a big festival, a worshipping of Ganga festival on that day. Ganga Sar something festival. Ganga Sagar Mela. Thank you. Have you been? You just heard someone say. Ganga Sagar Mela. So Sachi Devi is here worshipping the deity under the order of her spiritual master, something like Kshetra Sannyas, something like what Gadadhar Pandit did. He took the sannyas order of life and took a vow that he would not leave. He would just stay the rest of his life, not leaving the Dham, and worship the deity. She wanted very much to go to that festival, but she had the order of her spiritual master to fulfill. So she didn't go. But that night, she had a dream. And in the dream, Lord Jagannath appeared. And in the dream, Jagannath said, "Don't worry. You don't have to go to the mouth of the Ganga. Late at night, when everyone is gone, you can come here to Sweta Ganga. It's non-different than the Ganga, and you can take your bath here." So she was very happy to receive that nice instruction from Lord Jagannath. So at midnight she came. No one was around. She took her bath very peacefully. And then something very amazing started to happen. The water started to rise very quickly. Up, 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 and big waves started to come and carried her all the way to the Jagannath temple. And when the waves subsided, she found herself inside Jagannath's temple. And the guards heard some noise. What's going on inside the temple? Because everything's locked. And they went inside and they saw Sachidevi. And they thought, aha! A thief! Pretending to be a saintly personality, but her real purpose is to be a thief. She's coming at night to steal the property of Lord Jagannath. They had her arrested and they put her in jail. That very night, the king had a dream, and Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and chastised him severely. You fool! Your men have made a big offense. They've offended my pure devotee. I personally brought her here just to get her association because she's too busy serving her deities at the house of Sarvabhauma. I wanted to see her. And you put her in jail. You are in big trouble. He gave four instructions. Go and place your feet at her feet and beg her forgiveness. Plead with her for diksha, initiation. Make a gift to her of land where she can continue her activities very peacefully. And every day bring my Mahaprasad to my dear devotee. Or you're in big trouble. So, when the king woke, he was very happy to have some nice chastisement from Lord Jagannath. He went immediately to the prison and fell at her feet and pleaded with her forgiveness. And she just laughed. She said, "What a sense of humor Lord Jagannath has. He's made this arrangement just for his own pleasure." And on an auspicious day, she accepted the king as her disciple. She said, "I don't need any land. But if you bring Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath or make that arrangement, that would be very nice." So, from what I understand to this day, there's a Mat Ganga Mata Goswamini Mat. She became known instead of Sachi Devi by that name, Ganga Mata Goswamini. She never married any mortal man. She only married Krishna and followed the instructions of her spiritual master as her life and soul. And there were others who became her disciples. One very famous scholar came because he heard of her erudition, and he challenged her as she was speaking, but she didn't lose her composure. She simply presented the teachings of disciplic succession as she had heard from her spiritual master. And the great acharya, the great scholar, became very moved by her explanations, and he also became her disciple. There was one Brahmin of the name Pandit Chandra Sharma from Jaipur. And he was worshipping a deity named Radha Rasika Roy in Jaipur. Lord Jagannath appeared to him in a dream in Jaipur and said, "I want this deity of Radha Rasika Roy to be taken to Jagannath Puri, and I want Radha Rasika Roy to be worshipped by Gangamata Goswamini. Please do this immediately." So, very difficult. He was very attached to his deity, but to get an instruction from Lord Jagannath, you don't disobey. So he came here to Puri carrying his deity and presented the deity to Gangamata. And her response was, "I can't accept worship of Radha Krishna deity, I have no means. I have nothing. What to speak of qualification? I have nothing to offer. But he said, it's Lord Jagannath's desire. He instructed me, bring the deities. You know, I can't do that. He tried repeatedly and she declined. Days went by and she still wouldn't yield. So finally, he got the inspiration to leave the deity in a brush, in like a little garden area. And in that little garden area, the deity remained. That very night, Ganga Mata had a dream, and Radha Rasika Roy appeared in the dream and said, I want to be worshipped by you. I'm very hungry. Here's where you can find me, over there in the garden, behind the bush. You'll find me. Please come get me and worship me. And so she followed the indication in her dream and found the deity. And on the altar of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, the pujari will be very happy to tell us all about Radha Rasika Roy, who Ganga Mata Goswami also worshipped. This Sweta Ganga has some other stories connected with it. A number of them, I'll just narrate two. One of them was, just as we see some Brahmins coming, or pilgrims, and they come and take their bath. So he came to take his bath in the Ganga, and he submerged himself in water. And when he came out of the water, he found that he wasn't at Sweta Ganga anymore. He was in Varanasi, on the banks of the Ganga. Because he had this desire to make that pilgrimage to Varanasi, but he was unable to do so. So he was stunned. And he continued taking his bath, and when he dipped in the water again, he came up and there he was in Sweta Ganga, indicating to him that this was the same. So somebody might think, maybe he just made the story up and one of those kinds of things. But there's another similar story where one of the Brahmins worshipping Lord Jagannath, there's a particular, they have so many categories of Saivites. So on that particular category, he was one. And he came here to take his bath. He submerged himself in water. And when he came out of the water, his head came out of the water, he found himself on the bank of the Ganga in North India. And as he came out of the water on the bank of the Ganga, there was one woman who was waiting and said, I had a dream last night. Jagannath appeared in my dream and he said, young lady, you're not married yet. I will make an arrangement for a qualified brahmana to become your husband. Go by the bank of the Ganga, and when he comes out of the Ganga, you will know that he's your new husband. So she extended her hand and said, by the order of Lord Jagannath, please accept my hand in marriage. The man was very bewildered. What do you do in a circumstance like this? But I'm the worshipper of Lord Jagannath, and this is Jagannath's order that I should accept her hand in marriage. And so they were married. That very day they were married. And he spent the day. The next day he went to take his morning bath in the Ganga, and when he lifted his head out of the water, here he was at Sweta Ganga again. He didn't know what to make of the circumstance. So he just went on with his service to Lord Jagannath. Many years later, as he was doing his service to Lord Jagannath, he was leaving the temple, and coming in the temple was a woman with a young boy in tow. And she said, oh, you're my husband. and this is your son. She said, no, no, no. What are you talking about? She said, no, it's true, it's true. He said, no, it's not true, it's not true. Because according to the local custom, one who is a brahmana pujari of the deity cannot marry someone outside of Puri. If you do, you lose your caste. So he couldn't acknowledge that because he would have lost his service to Lord Jagannath. So he'd say, no, no, not true. She stayed in Puri, and after some time, you know how it goes, the story got out. Person said, hey, what's going on? This woman says that our pujari married her, and rah, rah, rah. You know how it goes. So the news got to the king. And so the king was called upon to settle the issue, like, you know, the arbitration department. So he brought the two together and had the girl tell her story and heard the pujari, and the pujari told his story, and the pujari said, it's not true, it's not true. And she produced the ring and some other article that the Brahmin had given her at the time of marriage. And he just looked down. It's true. But I didn't want to say because I didn't want to lose my service. What to do? My dear king, please don't take away my service. So the king said, this is the instruction of Lord Jagannath which supersedes any rule. You can continue your service. But now we have another consideration. Your son, the son of a Brahmin who is worshipping the deity, needs some service also. So the king created another category beyond the 26 categories of different types of service, a 27th category, and gave her son, or his son, the opportunity to do that service. And to this day, that 27th category, I'm told, is continuing. So this Sweta Ganga is none different than the Ganga, with a number of amazing pastimes to give validation to that fact. There's a tradition. Mother Sachi mentioned the tradition when she requested her son to come to Jagannath Puri. The tradition, she said, is many devotees from Bengal come to Puri for Jagannath Rath Yatra, and many devotees from Puri go to take bath in the Ganga. So in this way, with the coming and going of different devotees, I may get news of you, and you may also come one day to take bath in the Ganga, and then I'll be able to see you again. But here, the Sweta Ganga is none different, just like Manasi Ganga in Vrindavan is none different than the Ganga. So we've been sprinkled a few times already with nice Sweta Ganga water. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody waiting as we exit to receive some contribution for the sprinkling of Sweta Ganga water. So from here, yes? You have something? Yeah, what's the question? Why did she have to renounce what?
Her throne.
She didn't have to. She just had no interest in it.
Because Arjuna had to fulfill
the
karma, right?
Yeah, but she transcended all of that. I mean, from a material point of view, she became an initiating guru. I mean, that's a spiritual point of view, but even from a material point of view, it's an even higher position than being queen. But she wasn't interested in position of any kind. She was interested in one thing, service to her spiritual master and pleasing Lord Jagannath. So according to his indication, whatever he wanted, that's what she wanted. She didn't have to give up being queen. She had no interest. Okay, so we'll go from here to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and hopefully there'll be space where we can sit and have a little katha there. But we have to make sure that we catch darshan at Gambira. What time does darshan end? 12. Okay, let's move quickly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ganga Mata Goswamini ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.